We're $15,000 in debt. It's credit card debt. They're charging us 17-18%. This is a tough place to live in. Why? Because there is no margin. When there is no margin, there will be crisis.
This is Straight Talk.
Hi, this is Straight Talk. Welcome to our program. My name is Mark Jobe, and I hope you're doing well. I know that some of you may be struggling with your faith right now. I'm aware that every time that I teach or preach or minister the word, that there's some that are under a major spiritual attack. You know, the scripture tells us that we should not act like this is a strange thing when we're facing trials or going through a difficult time. And I just want to remind you that we are in a battle. It is a spiritual battle. And I want to remind you that we do not win this battle with the weapons of our own flesh, but we win this battle through spiritual weapons. And part of those weapons that we use are the Word of God, which is compared to a sword in Scripture. Faith is our shield. The Word of God is our sword. And so today, as you listen to the Word of God, I hope that your sword is getting sharpened, and I hope that your shield is being raised. And if you're under attack today, then welcome to the spiritual battle that thousands of people right now, just like you, are facing, fighting for their faith, fighting for their family, fighting for their destiny, battling to fulfill the mission of God in their life. I want you to get ready and prepare your heart to listen to today's message.
Thank you, Pastor Mark. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another edition of Straight Talk. Glad to have you with us. We continue on today in Pastor Mark's series called Thrive, Beyond Mere Survival. And today is part two, Beyond Survival, Saving. We'll be in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, verse 8. Here's Pastor Mark.
I'm talking to you about what it means to thrive. Thrive beyond mere survival. And I determined several years back that I would take at least a couple of Sundays every year to teach on the topic of stewardship and financial management. And let me tell you why I determined that. When I was young in the pastorate, I sort of avoided the topic because it just seemed like it was an uncomfortable topic, and I wasn't sure the Bible had a lot to say about it. I would rather talk about prayer, or talk about faith or forgiveness or love or a lot of other topics. But then as I began to study the Bible, I realized that God has a lot to say about finances and money and material possession. In fact, there are over 2,300, that's 2,300 verses in the Bible that directly deal with material possessions, money, and financial management. That's a lot of verses. And the reason there's so much verses about finances and financial management in the Bible, it's because our finances and our possessions and the way we manage it has a direct effect on the quality of our lives and is a reflection of our spirituality. So therefore, the management of our finances is huge. Fighting over finances is the number one area of division and the number one area of controversy in marriages. It's a tough issue. And I believe that many people get themselves in debt. Many people will ruin their future, will lose their joy, will have trouble in their marriage if they don't get these principles under their belt and start understanding what God has to say about finances. So I want to talk to you a little bit about that. By the way, talking about new president and this new 4 years, I believe that one of the greatest challenges that faces this presidency is, as we all know, the economy of this country, right? In fact, we've been experiencing unprecedented seasons of economic growth. Literally for the last 70 years, for the most part, We've had uninterrupted, continual, except for a little recession in the 80s, we've had uninterrupted, continual financial progress in our country. We've had one of the greatest upward swings and growth of financial prosperity that this country has ever seen. In fact, we live at a level financially higher and greater than any of our ancestors have lived before us. Our homes, our cars, our health care, our education, the possibilities that we have are greater than any generation that has come before us. Having said that, here's the challenge. The Bible teaches us that during times of surplus, we should be creating margin and saving into our life. We as a nation, as a government, are going into one of the toughest economic times that we have seen in decades, yet we are entering that time with trillions of dollars in debt. Instead of having a surplus because we've lived in great times, we are actually entering in with a huge amount of debt on our shoulders. Now, that's true at a government level, it's true at business level, and it's true for the most part at a lot of personal level. I read recently an article, and this is interesting, an article that was written 3 years ago by the Herald Tribune, and it was talking about savings, and it was talking about where people were at in their personal savings. Consumers depleted savings to finance the purchase of cars and other large items, the Commerce Department reported on Monday. The savings rate was minus 0.5%, meaning that Americans not only spent all of their after-tax income last year, but had to dip into previous savings or increase borrowing, the report said. The savings rate has been negative for an entire year only twice before, 1932 and 1933. Listen, but the height of our economic prosperity, the housing market was going up and where people's salaries were increasing, we were saving at an all-time low equivalent only to the Great Depression. Our country is in debt. Our banks and businesses are in debt, and the great majority of consumers and regular people that are out there working a job are also find themselves in debt because we lived overall in a culture that has not taught us margin. And so today I want to talk to you a little bit about what God has to say about margin and savings in our life, because I believe that if you begin to practice the principles that I'm talking about this morning, that in time, you will do much better than the average American does because you will be practicing some principles that the great majority of Americans do not practice because it goes counter to our cultural system. It's God's principles as opposed to our cultural principles. Proverbs 21 verse 20 in the Living Bible says this, "The wise man saves for the future, but the foolish man spends whatever he gets." Deuteronomy chapter 28 verse 8 talks about a concept that I want to explain to you. It's called the storehouse concept. I want to talk to you about the storehouse because it's a principle I think you need to begin to understand and grasp. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, God is dealing with a people and he's telling them something about the storehouse. It says, "The Lord will command the blessing upon you in your storehouse, and in all that you put your hand to, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you." Now I want to talk to you for a minute about the storehouse because I want you to understand the concept. In the early days, the third king of Israel, whose name was Solomon, who, by the way, happened to write the book of Proverbs that I just read out of, he built what was called the temple. The temple was built and destroyed three times, and currently the temple is destroyed. And many scholars believe that the temple will be rebuilt before the coming of Jesus Christ, and it'll indicate some of the end times. But Solomon built the first temple, the most magnificent temple that existed. He spared no money to build it. And when he built that this magnificent structure, he also built around the side of the temple a storehouse. The storehouse was a large three-story building adjoining the rear and two sides of the temple. The storehouse was for the purpose of storing the surplus that was brought to the temple of the tithes and offerings was stored in this storehouse. In Malachi, when God talks about tithing and giving and so forth, he says, "Test me and see if I will not open up the storehouses of heaven." So he indicates that, spiritually speaking, that God also has a surplus in heaven. He designed the storehouse in the temple. I believe in nature we see the concept of the storehouse. For example, if you have ever observed an ant, for example, in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6 says, "Go to the ant, O sluggard." Some of you are saying, "Well, I just really don't understand finances and mortgages and interest rates and compounded interest. That's really confusing to me. And I just kind of go blank when they start talking to me about finances. I mean, I couldn't stand fourth grade math, and I can't stand accounting and finances." Well, one of the wisest men in the world, Solomon, is telling you how to get a very simple financial lesson without going to financial management person. He says, "Go to an ant hill. Look at the ants. Observe them." If you ever take time to observe an ant, you'll realize a couple of things. One, during the summertime and spring, man, do they work. They're always busy. I mean, I've never seen an ant crossing his legs sort of taking some shade. They're always moving. They're just constantly in motion. And most of the times, they're out there looking for food and gathering food. They tell us that an ant can carry actually 17 times their weight. Have you seen an ant carry a crumb that's a lot bigger than themselves? It's like, how's this ant able to do that? I mean, they work. And then it says, "Observe her ways and be wise, which having no chief or officer prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provision in the harvest." In other words, during the time of spring and summer, especially in Chicago, you'll see these ants working very, very hard, gathering a lot of food. Why? They disappear in the wintertime. Because what these ants have done is they've created a surplus that they live off of in the time where they cannot gather food. They create a surplus that they live off of in times of recession, so to speak. Now, where do you think the ant learned that?
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Beyond Survival, Saving. It's from our brand new series called Thrive, Beyond Mere Survival. Stay tuned to learn how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 28, verse 8. Today's Straight Talk is called Beyond Survival, Saving.
Some of you will say, "Well, Pastor, you see, it was a microbiology that evolved, and you know, over millions of years, they sort of..." No, wait, but back off. Their designer, God Almighty, built into them the DNA, the innate ability to understand that you create a surplus in times of surplus so that you can survive times of recession. It was built in them in creation. A lot of animals are built that way. We call it hibernation. They go out, they eat a lot, they fatten up, they store their food, and then they go into some sort of sleeping mode because they create a surplus for the times when there's less. Now, here's what I know about God, nature and God, is that oftentimes in nature, God's pattern is reflected. For example, the Bible tells us that God created the heavens and the earth and all that's in it and mankind and so forth in 6 days. And on the seventh day, what did God do? He rested. Now, why did God rest? Because he was tired? I mean, after all, he created giraffes and ants and land and lights and stars. And man, that could be exhausting work. Wait a second. God's not tired. God never gets tired. God is omnipotent, who has an endless amount of energy. God didn't sit down at the end of the sixth day and said, man, I need a Red Bull. No. God wasn't out of energy. He didn't need a shot of B6 in his system, vitamin. God has incredible energy. He rested on the seventh day because he was teaching us a pattern. It was built into creation that there's a pattern of hard work and a pattern of rest. If you violate that pattern, you get unhealthy. You work hard for 6 days, you rest, you enjoy creation. If you're here today and you work 7 days a week and you have no Sabbath and you take no rest, then I'm going to tell you, you are an unhealthy person. And ultimately, that will catch up to your body, to your mind, and your spirit. You need to have times where you work hard, you rest, you play, you enjoy, you worship, and then you get back to work. It's a part of the pattern of creation. This surplus storage, storehouse concept is also a pattern of creation. It's a pattern that God gives us in creation, and we see it through the times of harvest. The farmer goes out and there's a time to sow seeds, and then there's a harvest time where we collect that, and then that farmer must store their seeds for the next year, must have the surplus last till the next harvest time. It's built into our pattern of creation. It's built into the pattern of the temple. It's built into the animal kingdom. And it's built in to what you and I need to understand and do in our own finances. It reflects the nature of God. So I'm going to give you several principles so that you understand the storehouse, as I believe it's explained in Scripture. Number one, principle number one, you can write this down. A storehouse, the kind of storehouse I'm talking about, helps build margin and avoid crisis in your life. You see, when you don't follow God's pattern, you end up in crisis. If you do not follow God's pattern, you end up in crisis. Period. That's just the way it works. God says, forgive. If I live with unforgiveness in my life for long periods of time, I develop resentment, I develop bitterness, it takes away my joy, it hinders my walk with God, it creates anxiety, it can lead to ulcers, headaches, high blood pressure, disease in my life, lack of spirituality. Why? Because I have not followed God's pattern. God says forgive and forgive quickly. In fact, God says do not let the sun go down while you are angry. Let go of it, because if you're going to be healthy, you cannot live with unforgiveness. It's like poison in your system. That's God's pattern. It's part of God's pattern. God's pattern in creation is that a man would find a woman and love that woman and commit themselves, that they would be monogamous and be committed to one another, that they would be loyal to one another. And in that atmosphere of committed love, that they would have children, that would give covering to their life, and that those children would grow up in a household with a mother and father that are fulfilling their role, that are covering, protecting them, providing for them, teaching them spiritual laws and principles of life, so that they would grow up healthy and protected. That's God's pattern. It's God's pattern. When that pattern is violated, and oftentimes it is, some of you know, if you're a single mother here, you know how difficult it is. And sometimes you wish, I wish someone would have talked to me about the realities of single parenting in this generation. I was young. I didn't really know what I was doing. And, you know, and so God can provide special blessing for you, but you know it makes it much more difficult. So that's part of the pattern. When we live according to God's pattern, we avoid crisis. Here's the thing with margin in our lives. We need margin in our lives, because if we leave no margin in our life, we end up in crisis. What is margin? Margin is extra wiggle room in our life. For example, one of the areas I struggle with leaving margin in my life is in driving times. Okay? I figure it takes me 20 minutes to get there. My wife is always saying, give yourself more time. Give yourself 35 minutes, 40 minutes. But you see, I've driven it, so I know that I can make it there in 20 minutes, barring there's no incident and barring there's no train. But here's the thing. Inevitably, when I give myself just the exact amount of time to get there, there's going to be some kind of delay because we live in Chicago. And all it takes is someone having to change their tire on the side of the expressway, and it creates a gaper's delay. What's a gaper's delay? It just means that people are nosy, so we all stop to check it out. What's going on there? We slow down. What's happening there? And suddenly, hey, was there an accident? No, just a guy changing his tire. Everybody has to see what's happening there and check it out, so we all slow down. And suddenly, there's a traffic jam. Why? Because we're nosy. Or you catch a train. I'm convinced that this Archer train has some sort of demonic force in there, because every time I'm trying to get somewhere on time, the train is there. They have to shoot all the way over to a 47th Street, go under the bypass, come all the way around to make it in on time. But you see, the train is always there, or there's a little, it starts raining and drizzling and everybody slows down. And here's the thing, if you don't give yourself margin, if you just give yourself exactly 20 minutes, what you are not counting on, what I'm not counting on, is the inevitable incidents that happen in life that naturally push you over the margin edge, and you find yourself in the red late, and financially it's the same way. See, what happens with our finances when we don't create a surplus, when we don't create a storehouse of saving, is that we live right on the edge, feeling like I can handle it so far, but a couple goes out and they're newly married and they figure, you know, we really need a place to call our own. We're tired of renting. We need our own house. So they go out, and if it was 2 years ago, anybody would have loaned you money. 2 or 3 years ago, banks would have given you a basically no-ask loan almost, and not really consider what percentage your income that is. It was fairly easy to get loans. Now it's kind of hard to get loans. But they would go out there and you'd put a down payment on a place, and a couple would tell themselves, it's going to be tight in the beginning, but we're going to have to really tighten our belts so that we can make it. So the couple gets in their apartment, they look around their apartment, they put their arm each other, and they say, you know what, we have very little furniture. What a great house with no furniture. And the wife looks over to her and says, honey, you know, I saw a leather couch. Oh, would it look great in that corner? No, we can't afford it right now. I know, but you know, it's no interest for 5 months. All right, well, we do need a couch anyways. We can't sleep on the floor. So they go out and get the couch on interest. Saying, I think we can afford the payment because things will get better. Of course, once they're sitting on the couch looking at just a blank wall, the husband says to the wife this time, you know, we really need a flat screen TV because after all, we need to keep up with the news and know what's going on around the world. And we can't just be looking at this blank wall. No, I don't think we can afford it. All right, it's a great deal. So they get into that. And so now they're living a little bit above their paying interest, thinking things are going to get better. And guess what? In the house, after 6 months being there, the furnace goes out. So now someone has to replace the furnace. And now they're going to pay $1,000, $1,500 or whatever, $2,000 to replace the furnace. And now suddenly, because we live with no margin, now there's a furnace. Since there's no money, it has to be put on credit. And then the car breaks down and needs new tires because things are sliding around, and that's another $500. And then within 3 years, the couple wakes up one day and they look at themselves and say, how did we get $15,000 in debt? And we have nothing to show for it. We're $15,000 in debt. It's credit card debt. They're charging us 17-18%. We're barely making the minimal payments. And this is a tough place to live in. Why? Because there is no margin. When there is no margin, there will be crisis.
You've been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe from New Life Community Church in Chicago with the first half of his message called Beyond Survival, Saving. It's from his current series called Thrive, Beyond Mere Survival. Join us again on the next Straight Talk for the second half of this message. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you in your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. We also invite you to check out a new Life location near you this Sunday. We have 25 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago, and you can check us out at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We'd love to meet you. And please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that you've enjoyed this broadcast, and we thank you for joining us. Please do listen in to the next Straight Talk. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and the Straight Talk team, we appreciate your listenership. Have a great evening, and God bless.